Welcome to the 12th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. I'm an endurance athlete, as well as a cardiologist, and I'm trying to share the plant-based message. Tonight, I have an extremely special and different guest coming from West Virginia. I probably is the last person I'd ever thought I would be speaking with, but is truly a lighthouse for he's truly a lighthouse for living well, living a positive mental attitude. And his name is John Joseph. He is the author of two books. The first one being The Evolution of Cro-Magnon, which is basically his story. And entails his band, the Cro-Magnons, and the founding of that, and how his life was transformed from a terrible childhood, seeing things and being treated like a child never should have been treated, to be coming in a punk rock group and learning the ways of the Rastafarians and the Hare Krishnas and becoming plant-based. And now spreading the plant-based story. And his latest book, and actually re-release, is called Meat is for Pussies. And basically it's somewhat directed at the guys to say that, you know, it's not a tree-hugging, hippie-type population, that he's plant-based. It's real men. It's pro football athletes. It's weightlifters, arm wrestlers, punk rockers, and it's much more than just an environmentalist way of eating. Truly, the nutrition is science-based and prolonged everyone's life to sustain the planet, and he gives recipes as well as a little glimpse into his journey. So I think you'll enjoy listening to the interview. John is truly a remarkable person, and in that, you know, despite having a very difficult childhood, he remains very positive. His books are there to help people. I just can't say enough about his kindness to speak with me and to share the plant-based his plant-based knowledge. He developed a voracious appetite for reading and learning all that he can, and he attributes it to kind of being duped by all these people growing up, and he needed to find out answers for himself, so he took it upon himself to educate himself. He's extremely well-read. His books are extremely well-referenced, and he's a plethora of information spoken in, you know, very common terms. He's also an endurance athlete. He's completed several marathons. Recently completed his second Ironman, Ironman Cozumel. You know, and he does these things to, you know, stretch his body as well as, you know, stretch his mind and to see how far he can push his body. So he's still touring with the Cro-Magnons. Again, he's very active on Instagram. His Instagram it can be found on John Joseph Cro-Mag. He's also on Twitter at JJ Cro-Mag. So I hope you check him out. Certainly check his books out. I think you'll find both books very interesting.
Hello.
Hey, John, it's Jamie. How are you?
Jamie, how you doing?
Good. The funniest thing is my cat Vinny just dialed you. I'm sitting here waiting, going over things, and all of a sudden it's dialing, and it's Vinny the cat made the call. So say
hi
to Vinny.
Vinny the cat is cool. Cooler than Felix the cat.
Oh, Vinny's a cool dude, believe me. He is one cool cat.
So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Port...
Where is Vinny calling from?
Yeah, Vinny is calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. It's about 40 miles south of Sarasota, about an hour south of Tampa, Florida.
Oh, nice.
Nice, yeah. So welcome to the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. You know, it's an honor to speak with you. I'm giggling to myself. You know, I told my friend tonight, I said, it's going to be the nerd and the punk rocker, because I'm the nerd and you're the punk rocker. So
I thought you were the punk rocker and I'm the nerd.
No, I believe me, I have you in the nerd category. So, but I am so honored to speak with you. I heard your interview on the Rich Roll podcast. Have a couple copies of your book, Meat Is for Pussies, and the Cro-Magnon, the man.
Wow,
as well.
You got that one?
Yeah, I read it all. You know, I just have to say, you know, that was heart wrenching. The evolution of Cro-Magnon. Yeah. You know, I mean, I grew up in West Virginia, and you know, it was one of those typical, you know, loving households that, you know, I did grow up in a nerd type environment. Nothing ever was really that wrong. It was, you know, we weren't rich by any standards, but you know, we had meat on the table and people cared for the kids, and I just want to make me go through and just really rip those people's heads off, you know.
They were not nice people.
yeah. You know, I just, you know, it amazes me how some people withstand such trauma in their life and come out so positive, and then other people's, you know, even like your siblings, you know, so it's basically one out of three that kind of thrive from that situation.
Yeah, my brother's not doing too well. He's my younger brother's, you know, almost passed away a couple of times this year. Heart disease and drug addiction, and you know, so anyway, I think you know, we all have a choice to pick which way we want to go in the face of adversity. And luckily for me, there was people around me in the late 80-81 that kind of gave me some guidance in the right direction, and I took advantage of it. So
well, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of your story as far as, you know, you grew up in the foster situation, and yeah, you know, you can do the short version as far as, you know, what ended up change. You know, you went through hell, and you know, somebody, it seemed like that the high school basketball teacher was kind of the first positive guy ever in your life.
I mean, I would say absolutely. Especially at that time, what we were going through, and you know, my father, you know, was not a nice person. Like my brother met professional boxers, some of the great ones like Alexis Arguello and different people. He went to some about 5-6 years ago to some benefit dinner, and these boxers were like you know, Jose Torres, like all these guys were sitting there like former champions, and they're like, you know, why are you here? You know, what brings you here? And he's like, oh yeah, my father was a fighter. And they asked who his father was. And he said, you know, John Shorty McGowan. And the guys were like, your father's Shorty? And then they called all these other guys over and they started telling stories. And basically they were like, yeah, you know, he wanted to be a gangster more than he wanted to be a fighter, and he got into alcohol, but he could have been, you know, one of the great welterweight boxers, but he, you know, pissed away his opportunities. And I mean, you know, for what he did to my mom, I don't think I can ever forgive him. You know, but in retrospect, I have to say, you know, everything I went through as a kid, being put in the foster homes and everything else, you know, kind of made me the person that I am. But it was definitely people like that basketball coach who first kind of, you know, it was the first person I ever kind of confided in what was happening, you know, like to have to keep quiet when you're going through all that stuff as a kid is not easy. You know, but he really, you know, affected me. Actually, I met somebody a couple years ago that actually knew that basketball coach from from Deer Park back in the day. And, you know, it's, it was just a rough time at that point. And, you know, for the three of us, but, keeping kind of as positive as we could and having a sense of humor is really, you know, what got us through all of that stuff. And music, for me, it was always, you know, the music was what I did at night to kind of deal with everything that was happening, you know, in the foster home. So anyway, you know, it's, I think everybody's put in situations in this life to test, you know, what, for whatever reason I had to go through all that stuff. And I honestly, it sounds cliche, but I know people say it, but I would never take it any other way at this point, you know. Now that, you know, I've been able to help a lot of people going through similar stuff, you know. I'm writing a book right now about keeping a positive mindset. You can overcome anything. And so, yeah, but, you know, it's definitely shaped the character of, you know, me, I guess, and my other brother anyways doing well.
Tell me a little bit about the details of how you actually ended up plant-based. And, you know, I heard you speak about, you know, the you know, eating plant-based is such a more positive energy and, you know, how that goes. But tell me that story a little bit, if you would.
Right. Well, I mean, I, you know, previous to that, I was really screwed up. You know, I hit the streets in 77. I got locked up. I was in, like, the worst lockups in New York City. And basically, one of the, like, this one prison I was in, I was the only white dude in the whole place. And, you know, so it was always, you know, being in really bad situations. And when I got out of that after almost two years, I went into the Navy and was just fucked up on drugs. I hope I can curse. That's fine.
Yeah, let it rip.
yeah, so I was stationed in Norfolk, and I went to see this punk band, the Bad Brains, in like April of 1980. And they just blew me away. And then, you know, you find out these guys are like this. The sound man was a raw foodist, and they're all into like not eating meat. You know, I just, that shit was so foreign to me at that point. I was like, you guys don't eat meat. They were just starting to get into Rastafari. And right after I met them, I went to Jamaica on my boat, and I met, you know, I was trying to buy ganja or whatever, but, you know, I met this guy who was a Rasta, and he was eating, like, you know, greens and seaweed, and, you know, and he just started telling me about what they call ITAL, I-T-A-L, which is, you know, pure vegetarian, vegan food, no oil, no salt, no nothing. You know, so those seeds were getting planted, you know. So I left the Navy and went back to New York in late 80s, and I ran into the Bad Brains. And they offered me a job, but they were like, you can't eat any meat. You know, you can come on tour with us, but you can't do drugs, you can't drink, and you can't eat meat. And I was so into what they were doing that I was like, you know, definitely. So I went on like this 3 or 4 month tour, and I came back totally vegan, you know, and actually into raw foods. I got into the raw food thing at the end of 80, the beginning of 81. I got a job in a health food store from a guy they knew, the Bad Brains, and I started going to see Victorious Kovinskis and Ann Wigmore and all these people from Hippocrates speak, and going to Integral Yoga Institute. And it just, you know, when I started getting the knowledge about, you know, first of all, not just the health aspect of it, but also the fact that, you know, we're torturing these animals, and it's this whole karma of violence. And I saw so much violence in my entire life. You know, from being on the streets, I got shot in the leg. I fucking got stabbed in, you know, in jail. I watched my mother almost be killed in front of me. You know, being beaten, you know, every day, basically, in this foster home. So it just all made sense to me to want to try to live out a peaceful kind of existence. Not that I would let people walk on me. You know, that's never going to happen. But why should I cause undue violence just because I have to eat this food, which in turn makes me very sick? It just didn't make sense. So everything I started reading and studying up on, both physically, metaphysically, it just made sense to, you know, try to give it up, you know? And then I started getting into the ecology aspects of, you know, what the factory farming is doing to the planet, the GMOs, the friggin', you know, all the stuff that's going on. So I never looked back, you know. I always say you can't stay stuck on stupid. When you get some information, it's just going to gnaw at you for the rest of your life. If you don't give into it and take advantage of it and apply it, it's just going to, you know, it's just going to always be there. And that's not the kind of person I am. If somebody offers me a better way of doing things, then I'm going to do it. And that's why I stuck with it now, going on almost 35 years.
Well, it just, you know, it blows my mind away. I mean, again, okay, I'm from West Virginia, you know, and that when I think punk rock, I don't think vegetarian. I don't think, you know, what they, you know, it just it's amazing what, you know, things you can learn in corners that you don't expect, and maybe, you know, things come around for a reason, and you were taught. And then the other part of it is, you know, were you always a curious kid as far as being studious? I mean, you have this quest for knowledge that most people, you know, I wish my patients had the quest for knowledge that you do. I give references on references on references, and I can't get people even to watch a DVD.
Right. Well, the whole thing was? Because I was lied to so much as a kid and hustled and cheated, you know, I just never wanted to be cheated. So I think that's why I went on a quest for truth, you know, and in all aspects. I actually lived as a monk for like 2 years in a Hare Krishna temple. And, you know, I always wanted to get to the real truth of the matter, you know, and find out the truth and keep an open mind and search for things. And I mean, who knows, you know, part of that might have been in a past life. Perhaps I had some karma to work out in the beginning of this lifetime for things I may have done in a past life. Who knows what the extent of the whole thing could be, but I just know that I always had a quest for learning and knowledge and basically, you know, like I said in Evolution of a Cro-Magnon, you know, I was like a sponge just getting all these books on health and spirituality. You know, I read all of these books, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and, you know, Ram Dass, Gurdjieff, Krishnamurti. I just, you know, the autobiography of a yogi I read in 1980. I mean, I just, you know, wanted... You know, when you go through so much in life and then you find this path and this door opens, and it's like, it's not like, you know, some wimpy hippie dude in Birkenstocks. Oh, yeah, man, peace. It's like, you know who wants peace on the planet is the warriors. You know, they don't, you know, I know guys in the special forces and all kinds of stuff, and it's like, you know, they don't go out unnecessarily causing violence and doing all this nonsense. It's like, you know, they want things to go smooth, but if the shit hits the fan, they're the guys you want in your corner. And I think, you know, that's why I kind of wanted a change in my life, was because, you know, of everything that I had to go through. And also, I saw a lot of the people I was incarcerated with getting sentenced 25 to life or dying and ODing or getting murdered. Guys I ran the streets with, Junior Nuts and Dougie Holstein, were both murdered. So a lot of these guys, you know, it kind of had a fear in the back of my head of like, yo, I knew I had the anger that I could actually hurt somebody pretty bad if I lost my temper or somebody could have hurt me because I was so wild. And I didn't want to go back to prison. So, you know, when I got a hold of the knowledge, I just started studying up as much as I could to, because I wanted to change, you know. I wanted something better in life, and I was blessed to get into music and writing and the rest of the stuff. And, you know, when you get a gift, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And that's why I've been taking advantage of it ever since, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful. And you reach such an audience. You're targeting people that, you know, other people certainly, you know, can't reach. I saw you also read A Diet for a New America, and that was the book that changed me. You know, I grew up, you know, West Virginia, butchering hogs, that kind of life. I was kind of raised in a country farm-like setting, and you know, that just changed me immediately and opened my eyes to things. And I'm like you, I couldn't get enough of this stuff once I started. And then Forks Over Knives, and you know, and gradually, the more I read of all this, I started, you know, my own profession. I realized that, you know, we didn't have any nutrition training for the most part, but, you know, we're blind to what really needs to be done. And I remember in my office one time, a patient came in and said, you know, you doctors, you know the answer, but you don't want to because you make too much money by you know, not curing people. And I was so offended. And that was probably that was probably 10 years ago, and it stuck in my mind. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's true. You know, I mean, it really is true, that we, you know, we're so clouded by all the people around it. And when we're as, you know, unfortunately, you know, have been on, I think, unaware for the most part. I don't think it's been with intent, but I think, you know, the nerd aspect of people, we suck up knowledge and we're kind of led astray a little bit. And I don't think people have been awakened to just what we're doing. But I feel, you know, I guess horrible of the situation. And, you know, my job, what I want to do now is to get people off their medicine and keep as many people off the table as I can. You know, and your book reaches, you know, the meat is for pussies. I love it. You know, I mean, it absolutely, yeah. It gets right to the heart of the matter because, you know, people that I know are, you know, the big he-mans and the strong guys or the guys that have been hunters all their life. And, it kind of takes people to task. So it's, you know, it's perfect.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, that's, you know, for years, the whole vegan message or whatever was kind of, you know, missed by these people because of the way people were presenting it. And, you know, honestly, been doing this so long now, a lot of those guys don't even look healthy, those vegans, because they ate junk food diets. You know, so most people were like, hey, you know, I don't want to look like those guys. And, you know, the thing is there's more and more people, UFC fighters and pro football players from the Indianapolis Colts, the wide receiver, and the many, many really tough stud dudes are going plant-based now. So it's definitely breaking down that stereotype of what people used to think when they're like, oh, yeah, that's why a lot of people say plant-based now and not vegan, because, you know, it's a different kind of, you know, I don't even call myself a vegan. I say I'm plant-based, even though I am. I don't wear leather and use animal products of any kind. But, you know, it's just that stereotype involved with the word. But, you know, Meat is for Pussies has definitely been able to get out there and change a lot of people's lives. And that's what I tried to do with the book. And oddly enough, the main ones who attacked me were some of the vegans, you know, like a lot of the vegan, whatever, feminists took, you know, kind of took, you know, a really negative stance against the book. And I told all these people, don't buy it, don't support it. And like, you know, I'm like, look, if you're down with the mess, if you're down with the real message and saving people's lives and everything else, then you should support the book, you know. But I don't care what they do anyway. I've been doing this way longer than like 99.9% of them. So if I worried about, I mean, think about how people looked at me in 1980 when I was doing this. They thought I was a freak, you know. And now a lot of those same people are coming to me, and they're my age, 52, 50, and they have all these medical problems. And I'm like, watch Forks Over Knives, download the app, eat the diet. Your life will change. That's all I got to say, you know. And I give them my book, and, you know, it's been a great experience, you know. So, you know, I don't do what I do for fame or adoration or distinction. I do what I do because if one person's helped by the book and it turns their life around, then the book was a success. It's actually helped thousands of people. So it's been an enormous success as far as I'm concerned.
No, I think so too. And it's, you know, it's the right size and it has the right kind of recipes and it just gets to the point and, you know, nothing's hard. And, you know, I certainly, you know, I have the books in my office. I always ask, you know, because if one person comes in, especially a woman, and she's, you know, I'm trying to get her to change and say she has to, you know, one excuse is, well, I have to cook for my husband. You know, or a guy comes in, you know, it's good. It's like, well, get him that book or, you know, try this. And, you know, people, they get a chuckle out of it, but it breaks a lot of barriers. You know, it really does.
Yeah.
It's like Skinny Bitch, you know, I always say, do you mind swearing? If they say no, then it's like, if I say, okay, buy these two books, Skinny Bitch and Meat is for Pussies, and it'll get you over the hump.
I mean, Rory's cool too. You know, I'm good friends with her, and she helped save a lot of women's lives with that book, you know.
So now in 1990, you did your first triathlon. Now that's another. So you know, you've gone all around the book, you know, the world here. You're punk rock guy, badass kind of guy, and now that's not the triathlon Lycra crowd. How did that come about?
Well, actually, I did bike race. I raced bikes. I did marathons back then. That was a marathon that I did back then. But my first Ironman was in 2012.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just did Cozumel a few weeks ago, like November 30th. You know, it's just trying to test myself at 52 years old. And, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. And that's why I just try to stay fit. And, you know, it's a mental test for me. I mean, I went down to do Florida and November 1st. The swim was canceled. It was 39 degrees. I finished the bike, and then I got hypothermic on the run. So it's like, you know, anything can happen at any time, but it's how we deal with it. And instead of falling to pieces, I didn't finish the marathon, but I turned around 2 weeks later and signed up for another Ironman and went and did it and finished. You know, so, you know, you'd be surprised. Now I'm going to all these races and I'm meeting people. They're like, oh, man, we read your book. And I meet people at every single race. More and more people are going plant-based. There was one vegetarian restaurant there. Many, many people were going there and eating. And, you know, the world is waking up, you know, slowly but surely. But I just got into the Ironman thing. I'm not a professional. It's like I don't have the jock mentality of, like, you know, I want to go and I want to enjoy myself and have a great time doing it. And I know that, you know, that's what's going to keep me in the game. You know, continue. I mean, I've been cycling since 81 because I never developed that attitude. It was always about enjoying what I'm doing. you know, and that's why I still do it. That's why I still play music. That's why I still write every day. You know, I try to just keep a positive mental attitude, keep the PMA, like the Bad Brains say, and, you know. Oh, yeah, my girlfriend says I'm the happiest person she's ever met.
you seem like it. I did Florida the year before last, and
I heard the swim was bad.
It was a little rough. That scared me when, you know, going out into the, you know, the swim was what scared me, because I didn't grow up as a swimmer at all, you know, and
right.
I worked the medical tent the year before. It had been really cool to have you. And did you have to go to the medical? It'd have been really cool if I'd have met you in the medical tent.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully I didn't have to go to the medical tent, but, you know, I actually, even in Florida, because they canceled the swim. We were standing there.
It was terrible.
Then there was the bike and the run. But I didn't even go to the, I got so hypothermic, my hands turned blue. I was vomiting. It was terrible. But I just, you know, licked my wounds. I grabbed my bike and my bag, went up to the hotel. And, you know, I mean, it got me for like 1 or 2 days. And I wrote my buddy, who's a Navy SEAL, and he went through all that Navy SEAL training. He's like one of the elite guys in the SEAL teams. And I was like, yo, this is what happened. And he was like, boom, 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 boom. And when one of those guys tears you a new ass, you listen to them. So with that mindset, you know, like a week later, they sent me an email, Iron Man, saying Cozumel's not sold out if you want to get into the race. And I just automatically just said, don't register. And, you know, I had been tapered off and everything. So I just friggin' got back in the pool, got back on a bike, got back out on my sneakers and kicked ass down there, you know.
Yeah, it was good. Very good. Congratulations. So do you have another one in your future? Or?
Yeah, I got, I'm doing April 12th. I'm going to Taiwan to race.
Oh, good.
I'm doing the Ironman there. I'm doing, I know I'm racing on my birthday. That's October 3rd. There's an Ironman in Maryland. And I'm probably going to do one more before that. And I'm thinking it might be Boulder in late August, you know. So I'm trying to, I'm not good enough to really get the 9-hour Ironmans at this point. So I'm trying to get eventually into Kona through the Legacy program, getting the 14 Ironman finishes or something, you know, because that's really my dream, is to go race on the Big Island and finish that race. So,
yeah, you and me both. We're both 52-year-old hopefuls. So how about that, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
It could be the nerd and the punk rocker. There we go. We'll get matching
that's
jerseys.
It. Although I'll never call you a nerd. What you're doing is amazing. I don't think that's nerdy at all. I think, you know, what you're doing down there is an amazing thing. And just like Robert Osfeld, Dr. Osfeld here, he's the head of cardiology at Montefiore, and he's puts people on the Forks Over Knives diet. They just wrote an article about him on the Forks Over Knives website. But he works up in the Bronx, where it's all Spanish people eating the worst food you could imagine. And he's getting them on a plant-based diet and reversing all the diabetes, all the all the diseases that these people get from bad diet. Dr. Osfeld volunteers his time and does it for free, and does these workshops and clinics on plant-based nutrition. And he's healing all these people. So you guys are the real future of medicine, because you're supposed to, you know, let thy medicine be thy food, and let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. It's how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be the pharmaceutical companies running the medical industry, selling pills for every single thing. The minute you turn on your TV when you get home from work, every freaking commercial is a pharmaceutical commercial, you know, for totally treatable diseases. And I've read all the books, The Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher, how the pharmaceutical companies go out and pay these doctors off to put people on meds and sell prescriptions. It's completely, the medical industry, the FDA, and those involved in this country, are, you know, it's complete corruption, you know. And I don't say, I think, you know, a lot of the doctors are ignorant of the real truth in the medicine. I mean, ask any one of them what they ate for dinner last night. Therein lies the problem. The people that are supposed to be fixing your health, you know, have their heads up the ass for the most part. They know nothing about nutrition. They know, you know, I mean, my friend read my book, and Dr. Oz, he was bodyguarding him in Australia, and he's telling people, oh, yeah, doing an interview over the phone, oh, yeah, you have to eat fish to get the omegas and dairy and all this other crap. And he hangs up, and my friend, who's like a 6'4" Muay Thai fighter covered in tattoos, who's become this, you know, he became like I was 30 years ago, just researching every single thing. He starts questioning Dr. Oz and dropping science on Dr. Oz, and like Dr. Oz is looking at him. He's like, why are you telling people to eat fish to get the omegas? They eat the plankton in the ocean. That's where they get the high levels of omega. Why don't you just tell people to eat, you know, sea vegetables and spirulina and the rest of the stuff? Like, and you know, Dr. Oz is just like, yo, you know, like, but I think, you know, he's toned down his message a lot. If you looked at what he was saying before, I think, you know, they came down on him a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I hope. You know, it's unfortunate.
I mean, his wife's a vegan. His wife is a vegan, and he was really pushing that envelope, and then they just basically were like, okay, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's not too many carrot sponsors out there. That's unfortunate, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
Again, like you say, the pharmaceutical agents drive, the pharmaceutical companies drive the industry. And, you know, and I used to be, again, you know, and where I went to medical school in West Virginia, there wasn't that much influence. But, you know, when I get out, I look back and there was that influence, you know, people, and you didn't realize it. You said over and over again, they don't control me. But the reality of it is they did control me because I wasn't looking at the alternative. I was trying to treat people through statins, and you know that was the only way to health. And you know, it takes a little bit of guts to, you know, to say, okay, you know, throw the pills away and change your diet, because you also have the lawyers out there that, you know, what do you mean, Dr. Delaney? You know, you told them to eat plants, and they had a heart attack. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
it's.
Well,
it's,
I mean, look what happened. I believe, was it Dr. Campbell or Dr. Esselstyn who had their research pulled once they
started it? Campbell.
Yeah, right. So they pulled the funding for his research because, you know, it's like when you start speaking the truth and costing the pharmaceutical companies money, because the only way they profit is by the ignorance of the public. Okay, when people are unaware, kept in the dark, and ignorant of the truth, then they get exploited. And that's why, you know, most Americans over 30 are on one or two different types of Medicaid. It's just a pill-popping society, you know. Instead of dealing with, okay, why did I get this disease? What's the cause of it? Oh, no, here, take a pill to treat the symptoms. You know, and all these pills have side effects. My girl just saw today that they say now that all the talc that was in baby powder caused a lot of babies to get cancer, you know, and now there's lawsuits out there for talc. It's like, you know, and what happens in this country, because it's controlled by the corporations and the pharmaceutical companies, they know that this stuff has side effects. They know the side effects of the medications. But you know what? Eventually they know they're going to settle for pennies on the dollar. The lawsuits, compared to the amount of money that they're going to make off of pushing this drug for a while, is like I said, you know, they're going to make billions, hundreds and billions of dollars, and they're going to settle for millions, you know, on the lawsuits when they do come. And that's the way this whole game is run in America, you know? They settle for pennies on the dollar, and they're not looking at what it's doing to people's lives. They just care about the bottom line. The bottom is the dollar. That's it, you know.
So, you know, the doctors have their heads in the sand. The politicians are paid off, and the lawyers are looking to make a profit, and the sports heroes are on drugs. So how do we get the message out?
The way you're doing it. It's a grassroots movement. I mean, you know, people going to seeing folks overnight. One person telling another. It's, you know, that's the way, how did punk rock, how did alternative music spread? The record companies weren't putting it out. But you know what? We went to the underground, and we went and started our own movement. And that's what's happening. This plant-based thing is ready to explode. Because the more we can affect change on people of positions of power, you know, in society, the athletes, the actors, the people that people look up to, you know, more and more, you know, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever great men do, common men follow. You know, so it's like all of these like top athletes and these other people, they're becoming, you know, it's people like you and everybody else, the Forks Over Knives people, even me to a degree. We're getting the message out there, and, you know, it's getting out there, and it's the domino effect. One by one by one, you know, we can change the way people think, you know. It's people are waking up. It's, you know, the younger people in this country are so smart. You know, they're so intelligent. You know, they're so distracted because this, you know, it's like every second of the day there's a commercial or texting or this or that or, you know, but the fact of the matter is that same internet can be used to spread knowledge and information, and I think that's happening as well. We just have to continuously push the message. That's the way we do it, you know, and lead by example. You know, we have to be the good examples. We don't just like, you know, that's why you're out there doing Ironmans and all this other stuff and you have a medical practice, and, you know, I try to do the same thing. You know, that's why I try to stay fit. I'm, you know, positive every day. You know, if something manifests, I try to deal with it right away, you know, and the best thing you can do is set an example for people that they can be like, hey, you know, what's this guy do? What's this girl do? Like, how are they able to do this, you know? And always, you know, to me, I'm always willing to extend myself and help people. I was given a gift 35 years ago, and how do I pay that back? People saved my life. I shouldn't even be talking to you right now. I was just writing that in my book. I mean, I've been in some of the most hairy situations, shot at with AK-47s. I mean, you know, AR-15s. It's just astonishing that I'm still here, and I know I'm here for a reason, and it's to, you know, spend every day that I am given another day on this planet to try to help people. You know, they asked Oprah last night on the Barbara Walters special, and she said, you know, what is the one thing you want more than anything? And she said, I want to become the master teacher that can empower people to change their lives, you know? And I think that, you know, that's a pretty noble, you know, thing to say, you know. And, you know, she's hip to the knowledge, too. She that's why she got sued. She had Howard Lyman on the show that wrote The Mad Cowboy. That's why she got sued. She knows what's going on with this whole meat industry and the rest of this stuff. And you know, she had my boy Kyle Ronan, who wrote The Conscious Cook, cater her housewarming and her parties. And, you know, she eats a lot of vegan organic food, man. Oprah's a pretty smart woman, you know. And I just think, like, we have a duty when we gain knowledge to pass it on to other people, you know. And I think that's how we do this, you know. That's how I've been doing it. You tell 1, 2, 3 people. They tell 5 people. Those 5 people tell another 20 people. And the message keeps getting out. Everybody I meet now in New York, you know, I say, hey, did you ever, or any race or anything, did you see Forks Over Knives? Oh, yeah, I saw that movie, you know, like, you know, it's the definitive movie for going plant-based. You know, there's nothing better than that, you know?
Yeah, I think it was fantastic. You know, I had done Diet for New America. I was convinced on my own, but when I saw Forks Over Knives, I said, you know, my patients have to be that way. But I have a, you know, I came from a family of, well, anybody that went to college in my family became a teacher. And I have one aunt that said something that always resonated with me. And she said, it's my job as a teacher, if a student doesn't learn, it's not because it's the student's fault. It was the way I presented it. And so I need to be able to teach every student so that they can learn. And I've kind of taken that to heart, you know, as far as if I can't get my message across, it's not that I have to find a different way to get my message so that they can, you know, that they can appreciate it. And, you know, I've enjoyed these podcasts speaking to, a bunch of different people in, you know, different areas, because I think anyway, and I think the podcast, I love podcasts. I, you know, listen to them when I run most of the time. And, you know, I think, you know, hearing, you always hear, you know, like especially Rich Rolls, you know, I mean, I listen to some of his guests and it's like, I'll not identify with this one, but every one I do, and you learn something from it. And, you know, it's just, again, like you go all the way back. It's the knowledge, and you never know when your knowledge is going to touch somebody that you never thought it would.
Exactly. I mean, you know what happened to me today? A very famous musician. I gave him my book, and it sat in his house. Well, guess who grabbed it? His son grabbed it, and his son has his dad write me and say, listen, you know, my son wants to get into this now. Can you spend some time and educate him on this? He wants to give up meat completely. And I'm like, hell yeah. You know, so I'm going to meet with him down in the city, probably this week at some point, and go get some food at Angelica Kitchen and, put him on and put him. My girl is actually a trainer. Her name is Erica Michener. And you can, E-Power Living is her thing on, and she does meal plans. She did my meal plan for my last Ironman, and I got down to like 162 pounds solid. I mean, you know, she's a trainer. She has 2 black belts, and she has the Campbell Institute plant-based certification, degree. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it's all about all of us working together, you know. Like, I've sent people to Dr. Osfeld up in the Bronx, and, you know. So, I think, you know, learning the art of not everybody is the same is a different way to get the message across to different people, which is something that I've kind of learned how to do. It's like, you know, you don't walk into a French class and try to teach them Spanish, you know, or go into, and then there's some people you don't walk into second grade math class and try to teach them trigonometry, you know. It's like, okay, here's the basics. Let me break it down to you, you know. And some people can handle a more, advanced and intense message and knowledge, but it's learning the art of how to present it palatably to every single person is the key, you know, and never offend anybody. And I think if we come from a place of humility with trying to really honestly help people, then they'll get that. And you'd be surprised what you get away with telling people, you know?
Yeah, that's where I'm still in the learning process. And sometimes, you know, my flaws at the, you know, I'm going to give the same spiel, you know, patient after patient after patient. And sometimes at 4 o'clock or something, I'll just, you know, that poor person that comes in, you know, I pity them because they just get it with both barrels, you know. But I'm learning. I'm trying. You know, I'm trying different ways.
Hey,
I'm
but we're human. We're human, too. You know, we're not machines. So that's just, you know, that's life. You know, We're only human as well, you know. We're trying to get through things ourselves, you know.
So what's your day like?
I usually wake up 6 in the morning and I start writing. I'm working on a new book now, and I'm writing a TV pilot for a show. And then I'll train, and you know, right now I'm up at the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. We give out hats for a soup kitchen that we work with in the city that has organic meals. So, you know, I do that a little bit. I come back, I get some more writing done, and, you know, depending, like, when I'm training for an Ironman, I'm doing, like, 2-a-days, and, you know, I'll go to the pool at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, it's just, you know, I just, I was actually writing about this today. You know, Idle Mind is the devil's workshop. So, like, I just keep so engaged with doing positive stuff that there's really no room for any negative drama or bullcrap, you know? That's basically the way I try to have my day and, you know, eat very healthy every day. And, you know, try to reach out to people every day. You know, I actively search out, you know, usually everybody writes me at once a day. I get 2-3 emails or Facebook messages or whatever about, hey man, where can I get information about this? Or, you know, so I actively try to help somebody every day, you know. And just stay positive, you know.
Well, I really appreciate, you know, I'm always surprised, you know, I tell my daughter, it's like, you know, I sent an email and he sent, you know, I get an email back and I'm like shocked, you know.
Yeah.
And somebody will even, you know, it's like, they're going to talk to me. It's like, this is really cool. And so I've been having a great time with it. And, you know, I think it's, you know, it's serving a purpose. And
yeah, I mean, that's why when you wrote me, I was like, absolutely, no question, you know? We all got to help each other, too, you know? It's, that's the whole thing, you know? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What's the new book going to be about?
It's all about overcoming obstacles and achieving your goals, you know, by keeping a positive mental attitude and, you know, very practical stuff. It's kind of a self-help book, but it's told in a, you know, by relating to my story and other people's stories who have overcome tremendous things in their lives to accomplish, like, superhuman tasks, like, you know, Rich Roll and, you know, different people like that, and what it took, you know, for him to do what he did. You know, it's unbelievable. And it took a lot of discipline, you know, for him to do what he did. So, yeah, the book, and, you know, again, there's a whole chapter on nutrition and exercise and stuff like that, how that affects your mood, you know, and what it takes to really get where you want to be in this life, you know. And so little by little, I pull people into the book, and I always tell real personal stories about myself or other people I know, because, you know, people like that, you know, they don't want some dry philosophy book, you know, they want to laugh, they want to, you know, be taken on a ride a little bit, and that's what I try to do with every book that I write, so that's kind of my style.
I think
if I have a style, that's what it is.
I do have to say that, you know, of all the cookies out there, Oreos would be my favorite, you know, of like cheap cookies. And I think you ruined it for me, so thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody, you don't know how many people say that to me, you know. I will never eat another fucking Oreo as long as I live.
I'm done. You know, I only like the chocolate part really anyway, but now it's just...
Oh, yeah, like Mrs. Valenti.
Yeah, I just really like the chocolate part. You know, I had a friend tell me, you know, horrible things, because I asked her, I had a cousin that committed suicide and he had 2 children. And one child just never really came back from it, still struggles, and the other one is okay and, you know, kind of coping and doing well. And I, you know, I kind of brought up, you know, I wish I knew how to reach the one, because it seems, you know, it's how one person thrives in the face of adversity and some people crumble. And she said to me, it's the only thing that she could come up with was that it was grace. What would be your equivalent to that?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know about all that. I have to say that we're afforded opportunities to be pulled out of it, but we have to really take advantage of that. You know, I mean, you read my book, you know what happened in 87, 88. I mean, I fell victim to a very horrible drug addiction. And, you know, I actually just had to, like, basically beg and pray to have my addiction taken away. And, you know, I have faith in God. You know, I chant Hare Krishna every day. And I basically went to the temple and just broke down crying. And I was like, if you don't take this desire from me, I'm going to die. You know, and I don't want to die. And I just stayed there. And I took shelter of the philosophy and took shelter of the devotees. And I got through it. So, I mean, grace only gets you so far, you know, Krishna, God, whatever, will take the first step, but it's up to you, you know, to reciprocate, you know, and that's what you have. It's not like, you know, I had to do things to break out of what my issues were, you know, and I think that's why I had the addiction issues too, because I had so much stuff happen as a child to me that I never dealt with. So that scar tissue was always there. And it just took a set of circumstances for that scar tissue to be ripped open. And the way I dealt with it, with trauma and whatever, was by drugs. You know, that's what I knew my whole life as a kid, was drugs. Just numb yourself. And that's what a lot of people do. And that's why I got into meditation and yoga and all of that. And, you know, instead of taking shelter of that, I took shelter of the drugs. So I knew I had to come back to that in order for me to beat my addiction. And I've never gotten high since. So that's what worked for me. I didn't go to the 12-step program. I don't go to meetings. You know, I stick my hand on my beads every day, and I do my meditation, and, you know, and I study the philosophy every day, and that's what keeps me, you know, on the path. So I think there's something to be said for grace. Yeah, God can shed grace on you, no doubt, but it's up to you to pull yourself out of it. You know, we have free will. We have the free will to do negative actions or not. That is up to us. Or take positive actions or not. You know, but if we listen to the enemy mind, you know, that's why it says in the Bhagavad Gita, the mind could be the worst of enemies or the best of friends. In the conditioned state of life, it's the worst enemy. You know, it's going to make us do the most insane, horrible things to ruin our lives. You know, but when we have control of the mind, when we engage it in our service to help us to sit down and write books and go to college and study medicine to help people or do whatever, then we're actually engaging the mind. It becomes the best of friends. But it takes a lot of work to get to that point, you know. But it's free will. So grace gets you so far. We have free will. We have choices to make. And the most, you know, value-heavy choices are those choices made under pressure. That's what determines true character. That's what my writing teacher said. True character is only revealed under pressure. The greater the pressure, the greater the revelation of true character. Now, your niece or whoever it is, this is a major test for them. You know, that's You know, having a father commit suicide is, that's a very, very traumatic thing, you know, but it's going to require a lot of, you know, work on her part to come out of that. You know, I've lost a lot of friends, committed suicide, and people I was very close with. For me, I never really got that attached to family because I'm tight with my mother now, but, you know, years and years and years, it was, I just looked out, you know, for myself and my friends. I didn't never have to worry about family. You know, it was like one of those pressures I never had because I didn't have family, really, you know. So it's a tough thing, but, you know, you just got to hope and pray that, you know, that they get through it, you know.
Well, you're certainly a lighthouse, and you know, I've enjoyed listening to your interviews with other people, and I giggled when you were on with Victoria Moran, and she was, you know, the afraid to say, you can only say it one time, meat is for pussies, and I thought that one, you know, and I also giggled when you were trying to kind of control yourself a little bit and find another adjective, but it was, you know, I thought this is just this is just too cool, you know, but you know, your books are wonderful. I encourage, you know, everybody to get a copy and read them, and I can't wait for the next one to come out. And
beautiful. If anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, it's JJ Cromag. So I'm okay. Usually post up stuff. You know, I'm posting stuff daily on that, you know.
And you're John Joseph on Facebook.
John Joseph and John Joseph Cromag on Instagram.
And
I'm always posting photos of food and training and cool people I've run into all over the planet on Instagram, you know.
Okay, and your girlfriend's name and website is again?
Her name is Erica Michener, but she's E Power Living, like the letter E, mm-hmm. Power Living on Instagram. Yeah, she's badass, man.
Okay, I'll be sure and look her up too, follow her as well. Well, congratulations, and hopefully.
Thank you, and I'm honored that you asked me to be on your podcast. Thank you very much.
I'm honored that you took time to speak with me, and I hope I look over someday, and we're getting ready to do Kona together.
That would be freaking amazing.
Before we're 80. Before we're 80, okay? I want to.
Hey, you know the energy when all of those athletes are on the beach waiting to get in the water. That is a feeling you only know if you've been to those races. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's an unbelievable experience. It's life changing. You know, I've done a lot of marathons before I did Ironman, and it is truly life changing, and you know, nothing is like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Well, listen, it was a pleasure, and happy holidays to you and all your listeners, and I hope everyone brings that positive mental attitude to PMA in 2015. Go plant-based. It'll change your life.
Amen, brother, and happy holidays to you to you and yours.
All right.
All right, take care.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
All the best. Thank you.
Bye. Good night.
I hope you enjoyed the interview with John Joseph. You know, I giggled. I said it's an interview between the nerd and the punk rocker. So I had a great time. Again, I'm very proud to and honored for him to have taken the time to speak with me. I hope you enjoy listening. If you have any questions, I can be contacted at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedelaney@gmail.com. And I hope you have a great week, and hope you're enjoying your holiday season. And as John Joseph would say, positive mental attitude is where it's at, and eat more plants.